Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph with the final parak in Brachot. Haroeh makom shenasu bo nisim liYisrael. A person who sees a location in which miracles were performed for Klal Yisrael. Omer baruch shasa nisim labotenu b'makom hazeh. So the bracha, as Tosfot lays out here, includes shem and machut. It's not simply baruch, like it said here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is just giving you the shorthand for what a normal bracha is. And therefore it should have Haskarat Hashem U'machul, which means Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam She'asa Nisim Labotenu B'makom HaZeh Kom She'nekra Mimenu Akum, place where Avodah Zarah was uprooted in Eretz Yisrael. Omer Baruch She'akar Akum Me'artzeinu. Obviously because of the possessive form of Atzeinu, we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Tosfot brings the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says it's not the case when we're talking about simply one place of Avodah Zarah, but rather Shenekra Kumi Kol Eretz Yisrael. Once it's cleared out of all Eretz Yisrael, that's the type of bracha that you make, not simply when it's removed from a single location. Al Azikim, on shooting stars, Vela Zo'ot, on earthquakes, Vela Ramim, on thunder, Vela Ruchot, can translate it simply as winds, but probably storms, Vela Brakim, and on lightning, Omer Baruch, Shekocho, Ugvuroto, Male Olam. So the reason for the bracha, as Rashi points out, Male Olam, is because elu near in o nishmaim lemerachok, or the merachok, that they don't have limits to the distances that they reach. Even though the lightning is far away, people can see it from a large span, and therefore it's shekocho gvurato malei olam. Al hayarim v'al gvaot, on the mountains, on the peaks, v'al yamim, on the seas, v'al niharot, and on the rivers, v'al midbarot, and on the deserts, Omer, Baruch, Ose, Maaseh Bereshit, we have Baruch, Ose Bereshit, can see the Masorot HaShas adds in Maaseh Bereshit. So the Rashi points out, and the Gemara is going to address, then what, the rest of them are not Maaseh Bereshit? These are only Maaseh Bereshit? That's number one. And number two is with regards to Neharot, rivers. Why would you make a bracha on rivers? All over the place, rivers. As Tosfot points out, Ela Arba Narot Tichtivi Bikra. Four rivers that are mentioned in the Pasuk, that's the bracha you make on them. Four that are mentioned in Gan Eden in Sefer Bereshit. And then we have the qualification of Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Aroa Teyam HaGadol. Someone sees the Mediterranean. Omer Baruch Shasa Teyam HaGadol. Bizman Shiro'eo the Prakim. At the times that he sees it on an infrequent basis. And the definition of infrequent, Yerushalmi says, is 30 days. Every 30 days you would make a bracha. Tosafot says that that applies to all of these brachot. Not just to the bracha with regards to what we just listed here, but all the brachot, you need a 30-day interval before you'd make the bracha. Now some of them, which are events, not static, talking about lightning or thunder or something like that, there maybe you'd make bracha even more than every 30 days because the event is different. And it's not a static event. But we're talking about things like a location where Naseh Bo Nisim, or you're talking about the rivers, the Yam, all these things that are static, then it would require every 30 days to be the interval before you would make the bracha again. Also, the Yam HaGadol gets its own bracha, meaning as distinct from the other locations, because of its uniqueness and its special standing with regards to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mediterranean gets its own bracha, even though we already had the bracha for Yamim. And this is Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitato a little bit, which as we saw before, Rabbi Yehuda says that the bracha has to be Yom Tor Mefurat. So that early in the Prakim, that Rabbi Yehuda likes the brachot to be more detailed rather than more general. Al Gishamim, Vele Besorot Tovot, on rain and good news, Omer Baruch Hatov V'Amitiv. Al Shmuot Ra'ot, Omer Baruch Dayan He'emet. Bad news, say Baruch Dayan He'emet. Bana Bayit Chadash, V'kana Kilim Chadashim. Omer Baruch Shechiyanu, V'chi'imanu, V'higiyanu L'zman Hazeh. These are all pretty straightforward. Good news, you say Hatov V'Amitiv. The Gemara will later define that it has to be something that is good for you and someone else. Because Hatov V'Amitiv is both good to you and good to others. That's why the Gishamim are included in that. Dayan Emet is for bad news. Mostly what we focus on is death, or news of death. The Bayit Chadash and Kanei L'Chayim Chadashim, which are personal excitement and tov, there you say, Shechachiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Giyanu Zman Hazeh. That's a specific bracha for the individual's celebration of something good. Mevarech ala ra'ah me'en ala tova, v'ala tova me'en ala ra'ah. We'll get to that in the Gemara. You make a bracha on the bad, just like you make it on the good. And the good, you make similar to what you make on the bad. But tzoeg shelavar is a tefillat shav. Someone who cries out about something that's already happened, that is a tefillat shav. Important Mishnah, and the Gemara will also take this up. If his wife's pregnant, go marry. My wife should give birth to a male, or is it tefillat shav? That is a meaningless, worthless tefillah, because we know that gender was already determined at the time of conception, and to change it after the fact is a tefillat shav. The Gemara will challenge that. There is another day in the Gemara that would suggest otherwise. At least, that's one example. We have other examples of tefillot shav, for instance, Baba Derech, Shema Kol Tzavacha Ba'ir, person's coming, traveling back home, and he sees crying or screaming in the city. Omer Yiratzon Shelo Itehei B'toch Beiti, or Shelo Yiru Eile B'nei Beiti. It shouldn't be in my house, or they shouldn't be my family that this is happening to. Again, or is it tefillat shav? Again, it's a tefillat shav because whatever's happened, happened already. So to daven that it shouldn't be with regards to one's personal property or their family is meaningless at that point in time. Now, obviously, when there is natural disaster or there is fire or something else which has continuum to it, it's not ends at one point, then maybe there would not be a tefillat shav. Here we're talking about a discrete event, and hoping that that discrete event, not hoping, but davening that that discrete event would not be with your family, that's a tefillat shav. Because whatever's happened, happened, try to change the past is considered to be a tefillat shav. The Rishonim here define tefillat shav, and it's important where there is no chance. If there is no chance, and in all likelihood something will not happen, that is considered to be a tefillat shav. And we always talk about that in medical conditions, in situations where it's a very difficult situation. We say in the Masechta, even if he has a sword above his head, you still daven. But it has to be within the context of reasonable percentages or probability that this thing can happen. If it's 99% that it won't happen, then davening might be a tefillat shav in that situation, because you're davening for something that is completely unlikely and you're asking for a miracle in that sense. And that may most likely is a tefillat shav, or something that should not be requested. It has to do with the difference between accepting what has happened versus davening to change what will be in the future. It's not always a clear line. There is a grayness to it, and so it's not always objectively clear. But the difference between trying to change what happened already and trying to rectify or amend the future, and what is allowed is to daven for the future, what's not allowed is, or is impossible, is to change the past. That is what the Mishnah is addressing over here, is that you have to determine when something is foregone conclusion versus when there's something where it has a probability that it can be changed or the outcome can be changed. And obviously, even within medicine, there is gray areas. There are times probabilities, better probabilities, lower probabilities. For instance, if one is already, chas v'shalom, someone's reached brain death already, to daven that that person should survive, right, that's a unlikelihood. It has to be a nes nigla before someone will survive that. So that's a tefillat shav. I mean, that's always clear. But there is something avar, and sometimes people don't give in at that point. Obviously, it's an emotional time. It's not easy. But here, the Mishnah is laying out the parameters by which something's considered to be in the past and where something's considered to be in the future. Anichdas lekrach, mitpalel shtayim. Person comes into a city. He's traveling, and he travels. He's passing through the city. The city, as described by Rashi, is a city that mitzuyim moshlim ra'im u'mechapsim alivot. It's got bad rulers. They look for excuses to prosecute, to grab people. So this is not the type of city that you want to go through so often. So mitpalel shtayim. Achat b'knisato, v'achat b'yitziato. And you have to do one on his way in, and one on his way out. One on the way in to daven that things won't go bad. One on the way out to thank Hashem for crossing through the city in safety. Benazai lays out a principle. Benazai omer, abba. You have to daven four times. Shtayim b'knisato, shtayim b'yitziato. Two on the way in and two on the way out. And they both have the same structure, which is, notein hoda'a l'shavar, thank for the past, so eik al atid. And you call out in the future. This is the same framework that we just had before, which is when you daven for the past, it's all about saying thank you to Hashem. When it's talking about the future, that's when you can be tzoeik. That's when you can call out to Hashem for asking things to be different. It says, in the context of entering the city, one is tzoeik. You ask Hashem that it should go smoothly. When you've entered the city smoothly, you say, thank you, Hashem. You exit the city, then you daven within the city to exit safely, and then you say thank you when you've left the city, or the other way around. If you left the city, you say thank you, and you're tzoeik for the remainder of the journey. Whichever way the structure is, but you have to always thank and daven. They're part and parcel of each other. You have to always acknowledge that you've gotten a certain distance or a certain way, and thank Hashem for that. And then you daven for what's coming up, or the dangers that you will face. Chayav adam levarech al ra'ah. Kashem shavarech ala tova. Person has to give bracha both on the good and the bad. And obviously it's phrased in that the bad, just like you do by the good. It's obvious that you would give shevach hodah to Hashem on the good, Question is, by the ra'ah, whether you'll do that, and that's what the Mishnah is demanding, that you give the same bracha to Hashem ala ra'ah. Shneamar, v'hafto at Hashem elkecha b'chol uvavcha is b'shnei yitzrecha, b'yitzer atov, u'b'yitzer hara, to give fully to Hashem. U'b'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notel et nafshecha, that with all your soul, means even if it takes your life, that's the story of Rabbi Akiva, which will come up in the Gemara now in Brachot. U'b'chol me'odecha, this is what Gemara is after, is, b'chol me'moncha, even with all your possessions, davar acher, b'chol me'odecha, chol midah u'midah shu medei docha habi modeh lo. For every midah that Hashem presents to you, you have to be modeh lo, you have to give thanks to Him. That is both midah ha-tovah and midah ha-ra'ah. And that's the proof that the Gemara is bringing to the statement that you have to make a bracha l'ra'ah, shem evreich ha-tovah, because it says, b'chol me'odecha, b'chol midah u'midah shu medei docha, no matter what Hashem presents you with, you have to say thank you. Wanted to ask something?
No, I was curious why the earlier, waits a while.
So then it looks like the Reish is laying out the different brachot, and then here it comes back and you see it's starting to lay out that principles. Tomorrow, this is not one Mishnah. In the Mishnayot, this is multiple Mishnayot that have been compressed and put together. Lo yakel adam et rosho keneged shar mizrach. Person should not be lighthearted, act in an inappropriate manner keneged shar mizrach to the eastern gate to the Harabayit, because the eastern gate on the entering Harabayit were lined up. The eastern gate is lined up with the Shar Ezrat Nashim. Shar Ezrat Nashim is lined up with Shar Nikanor, which is the Shar Ezrat Yisrael, which is lined up with the Ulam, which is lined up with the Petach HaEichal, which is lined up with the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So one should not be lighthearted, act in a manner that would be inappropriate there, because he's basically looking straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Shum Kuvan Keneged Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. V'lo Yikanes L'Arabayit. One may not enter Harabayit b'maklo, with his staff, u'b'minalo, with his shoes, u'b'pundato, and with his money belt. U'b'avak shoragov, and also if you can enter barefoot, he has to at least wash off the dust that is on his feet. B'lo yasinu kapandria, should not make it into a shortcut. V'irikika mikav v'chomer, one may not spit, that is a kav v'chomer. Kol chotmei brachot shemigdash ayumrim ad olam. In the Migdash, there was a special bracha that was made, as opposed to what we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. They used to have a bracha which was, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael ad olam. Mishikilkulu ad stukim, or Mishikilkulu aminim, whatever the original was in the Mishnah, it's been obviously redacted by some of the censors. Vamru, ein olam ele echad, and they denied that there was an olam haba, that there was only this world. Nitkinu sheomrim min haolam v'ad olam. So they changed the bracha to include two olamot. That way there would be no question about that. And therefore the bracha read, Baruch ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael min haolam v'ad haolam. So as opposed to the original bracha, which was Baruch ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael ad olam, now they changed it to Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael min haolam v'ad olam. Now Rashi says that they said Baruch again, Baruch Chonein Adat. They said Baruch again. It's not clear that whether that is the case, whether you need to have a Baruch again. It could have just ended Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael min haolam v'ad olam Chonein Adat. Rashi adds in an additional Baruch, which is interesting. Kaal that was there would answer Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto L'olam v'ad. There was no Amen in the Migdash. Rashi claims that Hitkinu was Ezra B'siato. That was Ezra and his contemporaries that put together the bracha in that way, because there arose those people that were kofar b'tchiyat ha-meitim. Rashi places this historically with the time of Ezra, time at the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Tinu sheyehei adam shu'el et shalom chaveiro b'shem. They also remember Takein that people could and maybe should ask shalom from each other with the Shem Hashem. The Mishnah brings proofs to this. Shenemar v'nei bo'az b'mi b'ed lechem v'yom le'kotzrim Hashem imachem. So when he comes and greets the harvesters that are working for him, he says Hashem imachem v'yomru lo, and they respond to him yivarechecha Hashem. It's actually what the Sfardim do when they come up for an aliyah. That's how they open their aliyah. The person who is coming up for the aliyah says, Hashem imachem, and the Kaal responds, Yivarechecha Hashem. But this idea that you should be shu'el b'shem, give a greeting to your friend with the Shem Hashem, we don't say the number one that's mezalzel b'kvod shemakom, because you're using it for kavod abriyot, but rather, it's a proper usage of the Shem Hashem, and might even enhance. I mean, the whole idea of recognizing Hashem in the cordiality of human beings shows that Hashem is involved in everything. It's an acknowledgement of Hashem. Omer, we have another example of this, is by the Malach that appears to Gideon. He says, Hashem imcha gibor chayo. Again, he uses the Shem Hashem in greeting Gideon. Vomer, and it also says, Va'altavuz, kizakna imecha. Do not despise, disparage, because your mother has become old. The Gemara will discuss, but you have to learn from the Zikne Umatecha that what they did is a paradigm for what you do. And Boaz did this, the Malach did this, we have other examples of this. Don't negate that. Do not despise that. They are the paradigms which we should follow. Vilmer, and then here it says, Eit lasot Hashem eferu toratecha. There's a time to do for Hashem that allows us to nullify the Torah. Vinatan Omer says it in a different way, comes to the same conclusion, which is, Heferu Toratecha, one may nullify the Torah, Mishum Eit Lasot Hashem, for something that is Eit Lasot Hashem, which is obviously the source for the writing down of Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayot, the Gemara, written down, even though they're supposed to be Torah Shebaal Peh, is based on this Pasuk of Eit Lasot Hashem, Heferu Toratecha. Also, as Rashi writes, says that's what Hashem wants. So they're not using it here in the sense of Eferu Toratecha, but Eit Lasot Hashem. Sometimes it's the time to do for Hashem is Eferu Toratecha, meaning that you do something that looks like you're being made for the Torah, not here literally. Looks like you're using the Shem Hashem inappropriately. But nevertheless, it's Eit Lasot Hashem. That's what Hashem wants. So you do what Hashem wants, even though it feels like that it's not appropriate. Alright, so now Rashi's girsa is Minalan de Mervachina and Anisa. The Gemara begins with, how do you know you make a bracha on an ace? And that's on that, the Gemara says, Minan Emile. And then we have Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Damakra, Vayomi Yitro. When Yitro gets news of what happened to Bnei Israel, meaning Moshe tells him all the miracles that transpired, says, Baruch Hashem, Asher Yitzil Etchem. He begins with a bracha. So see, we see a paradigm of someone who hears about an ace and he gives bracha to Hashem. Anisa de Rabbi Mevarchinan, Anisa de Yachid, Mevarchinan. So wait a minute, on an ace of the public, you only make a bracha. On an ace of an individual, you don't make a bracha, because the example given in the Mishnah is Aroya Makom Shnasu Bonisim Li Yisrael. And the source as well that we brought is talking about miracles that happened to all of Bnei Israel, and Yitro's response to that. But the indication from this, or the implications of that are, if an individual had an ace take place to them, that they would not make a bracha. Vahu gavro dabu gazil ba'avar yamina. This person who was walking along the place called Avar Yamina. Nofal alei ariyo. He was attacked by a lion. David le nisa vitnatza aline. Some miracle happened that he was saved from this lion. Atta le kamei de rovo. He came before rovo. Amar amalei kol ema de matik lahatam. Anytime you pass that location, baruch shasali neis b'makom hazeh. Make this bracha of shasali neis b'makom hazeh. Umar Bray de Ravina, Abukazel Bepitka de Aravot. He was going in the valley of Aravot. Sacha Lamayo, and he became thirsty. He needed water. It Avile Nisa, there was a miracle that happened. Ivrele Aina de Mayo, a spring of water per throat. Vishte, and he drank. Vitu Zimna Achado, Abukazel Beriskita de Mechuza. He was traveling on the Shuk of Mechuza. Venafale Gamlo, Pritza. This wild camel attacked him. It parkale ashito. A wall fell down or broke down for him. Al the gava, he was able to escape into the house through the wall, and he was saved. Kimatal aravot. When he got back to this location in aravot, baruch, he used to say the bracha, baruch shasali neis baravot ubegamal, putting aravot first because that was the location he was in, and adding in of the gamal. Kimatal the distka de mechuzah. When he got to the shuk of mechuzah, baruch, then he would make the bracha, baruch shasali neis begamal. So you see that there is this bracha that relates to an individual, a miracle that's done to an individual, not just for that which transpired to Bnei Yisrael or to the Rabbim. My answer is that Amrei. Nisa de Rabbim kuli amo mechayvi levruche. When you're talking about a nes that happens to the public, happens to Klai Yisrael as a whole, then everyone is obligated to make a bracha there. On the other hand, a nisa de yochid, if it's a miracle that transpires for the individual, iu chayav levruche. That individual is chayav to make a bracha. If you look in the Gra, the old Aleph in the Gra says, "Benirayu brei ubar brei," meaning it's a familial thing. It's not just him, but his children and his children's children. It's something that is familial. It's part of this individual and his descendants, but it doesn't include anyone else, as opposed to something that happens to the public at large. Then even if you were not a participant, you do have to say the bracha in that location. Just like if you see a nace that happened to Klali, so everybody makes the bracha, even though you weren't there, even though you weren't a part of it. Tarabanan. Now the Braita here is going to list out a number of locations where miracles happen to Bnei Israel, and places that are known. Those places, when you pass them, you have to make a bracha. One of them is Mavrot Hayam Yam Suf. This is Kriyat Yam Suf. Mavrot Yardain, where Yeshua crosses over the Yardain. Mavrot Nachle Anron. wherein they were in Arvot Moab, and they crossed over the river of Arnon, Avnei Algabish, b'mored Beit Choron, which the Gemara will discuss, these giant stones or hail that are in the descent of Beit Choron, the Evan shebikesh lizrok Og Melech HaBashan Yisrael, the rock that Og Melech HaBashan wants to toss on Bnei Yisrael, Evan sheyashav alei Moshe, b'shash asa Yoshua melchoma b'Amalek, the stone on which Moshe sits when he tires, when he's holding his arms up, and the attack that Yeshua leads against Amalek, Bishto Shalot, the wife of Lot, that turned into an Amud of Melach, Rechumat Yericho, Shnivla B'mkoma, the walls of Yericho that were swallowed up in place. Oklan Tzarich Yitein Oda V'Shevach V'Nei HaMakom. In all of these cases, when you pass there, you have to give Shevach V'Oda to Hashem, because these are places where miracles happen to Bnei Yisrael. Bishlama Ma'brot Ayam, so we know what the miracle is. And again, it seems to be that they knew where these locations were. They had some sense of where the Yam Suf was that they crossed. Kohanim, who were carrying their own, stood in the dry area in the middle of the Jordan River. Hachin, ready. And all Bnei Yisrael crossed in the dry land till the entire nation crossed, Lavorta Yadain, and then afterwards the Kohanim exit, and the waters come back to normal. Ela Mabrot Nachle Arnon. What is the crossing of the Nachle Arnon, or what is this miracle over here? We know what the miracle is by Yamsuf. We know what the miracle is when they crossed the Yardain. They're both of them split and allowed Bnei Yisrael to cross. What is the miracle of Nachle Arnon? Minolan Dichtiv. Alken Ye'amar B'Sefer Milchumot Hashem Edvahev B'Sufa. So this is part of the Mashalim that are written in the Sefer Milchumot Hashem, and it says Edvahev B'Sufa. Tana. Edvahev B'Sufa. Shnei Mitzorayim Ayu. Et and Vahev are two Mitzorayim, two people that had Nigayim, that were lepers, will translate loosely, that were in the back of Bnei Yisrael B'Sufa. Why are they in the back? Because they're not allowed to be in the Machaneh. Tavu Malchim B'Sof Machaneh Yisrael. Ki Avu Kachalf Yisrael. When Bnei Yisrael were passing, Atu Amorai, the Amorim, the Amorites came, and they wanted to trap Bnei Yisrael. Avli Lahon Nikiruta, they made for themselves caves, or clefts, in the mountains. B'Tashu Bahon, and they hid in them to ambush them. Amrei Ki Chalf Yisrael Hocha Naktalinon. When Bnei Yisrael passed by, will attack them. They were going to pass through a canyon or some narrow area between the mountains that was by Nachal Arnon. And as they crossed through, they were going to attack them because they would be vulnerable in that situation. The Amorites were not aware of the fact. Daron Abi Maske Kamayo. Israel. Daron traveled in front of Bnei Israel. Baba Mamichu Ture Mi Kamayo. And used to flatten out all the mountains so they didn't have to worry about any mountains. The Medrash says that all the mountains had flattened out with the exception of three. That is Har Sinai, Hor Ahar, and Har Nevo. Each one which has a significant event on it. The Kabbalat Torah, the burial place of Aaron, a Kohen, and the burial place of Moshe. But otherwise it flattened all the mountains out. So now it came here. Came in Dat Aaron. When the Aaron came, Adbeku Turei Ba'adei Adodi. The mountains came together. In order to eliminate the canyon or the narrow space between them, it came and pressed the mountains together. Well, by pressing the mountains together, they fit together like hand and glove. And v'kadlinon, those projections on the one side went into the clefts on the other side, and they killed the Amorites that were standing out there. V'nachat amayu l'nachle Arnon. And their blood flowed down, meaning from all the killing that went on there, the blood flowed down into Nachle Arnon. Ki'atu et vahev. Et and Vahev got to the Nachal Arnon, Chazu Dama. They saw that there was blood, the Konofig mi Beni Ture, it was coming out of the mountains, and it was flowing into Nachal Arnon. Atu v'Amrihu Yisrael, they reported their sightings to Bnei Yisrael. Amru Shira, and then Bnei Yisrael sang song, Hanu Tichtiv, V'Eshed HaNechalim, Asher Nata L'Shevet Ar, V'Nishan L'Gvul Moav. So the Eshed HaNechalim, the Shefech, the pouring of the Nachal, and where the Nachal goes down, Shem V'Nachal Arnon, Asher Nata L'Shevet Ar, that moved, or went to greet Ar, referring to Moav, Nishan L'Gvul Moav, and went over to the side of Moab. The description of the Shira is this movement of the mountain, the collapsing of the canyon, and because of that, it killed the Amorites that were found there. And they were singing Shira, because the mountain had extended itself over into Eretz Moab, meaning that it had come together, and that's what Bnei Yisrael recognized, the miracle that had taken place. Rashi Ala Torah brings the Midrash Chazal, that says, Ali Be'er Enula, that the Shira refers to the Be'er, because when the bear showed up, They had water from the Be'er, and in the Be'er they saw bones, and they saw human remains and blood, and then that's when they had the Shira. Different version of the Midrash about how they became aware of the fact that this had transpired. But the Shira, according to both Midrashim, refers to a miracle that Hashem performed in defending Bnei Yisrael. Now, Avnei Agabish, what are these Avnei Agabish? My Avnei Agabish, Tana Avanim, Shamdu Agabi Ish, Viardu Agabi Gavish. Stopped because of one individual, and came down because of another individual. Amdu Agabi Ish, they stopped for one individual, Ze Moshe. V'chtiv Aish Moshe Anab Mi'ot. Moshe was the most humble of individuals. V'chtiv. V'chtulu HaKolot V'Barad U'matar Lo Nitach Arza. So this is talking about in Makat Barad, when Pharaoh tells him he wants to stop, Moshe goes out and davens, and the Barad stops. So the Medrash here in the Chazal explaining, V'chtulu HaKolot V'Barad U'matar Lo Nitach Arza. What do you mean Lo Nitach Arza? They didn't reach the ground. They stopped midway. They were suspended in the air. They didn't come down. Yodua Gavish, when did they come down? Ze Yoshua Dechtiv. Kach lechat Yoshua bin Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Bo. Moshe, you should take Yoshua bin Nun, because he's the man who has the Spirit of God with him, and he will be your successor. Dechtiv, Vayi bin Usam Yipnei Bnei Yisrael, when they were running away from Bnei Yisrael, this is talking about in Yoshua Yud, when they're fighting in Canaan. Heim b'moreid Beit Choron, they were on the descent of Beit Choron, Hashem yishlich lehem avanim gidolot. Hashem throws upon them, descends from the heavens with these great stones. The idea being, those stones that were suspended and stopped midway from Moshe, were released by Yoshua. Yoshua being the protege, the continuum, the successor of Moshe, where it says, it's like one, Moshe stops them, Yeshua releases them. And so those same stones or barad, hail that were stopped midway, were then dropped by Yoshua in protection of Yoshua when they are succeeding in the battle and everyone's riding away and they're fleeing, that the avanim catch up with them in order to stop those that are fleeing or to catch up with those that are fleeing. Evan shibikesh og melech bashan zrok al Israel. This great stone or rock, og melech bashan wants to toss them in Israel. Gemara gemirah. First of all, it's not a pasuk. They say right away, this is a misora. So Amar machane Israel kama avo. How big is machane Israel? This is og melech bashan speaking to himself. Flata parse. It's three parsot. The Gemara discusses in other places because in Sefer Dvarim it says that Bnei Israel camped Be'armo Moav. And in camping at Marvo Bavav, it says, and Rabbi Rechana says, I saw those two locations, and they are three parsot apart. That's how the Gemara knows that the Machane Yisrael was three parsot, and we know that they encamped in a square, circular form, so that means that it was three parsah, by three parsah was Machane Yisrael. Yisrael v'yakar tura bar tlate parse, Ogmel Shabban says, I'm going to uproot a mountain that is three parsot wide at its base. Vishdalayu says, I'm going to go do that, and I'll throw it on them. Shabik Talino, and I'll kill Bnei Yisrael. Azal Akar Tura, he goes ahead, picks up a mountain. Bartlata Parsi, Ba'ayta El Reshe, he's bringing it on his head. He has to carry it somehow. He's carrying it on his head. Ba'ayta Kudsha Brichu, Alei Kamtze. The Gaish Baruch Hu brought in the ants, the special workers, Benakvua, and they basically cut a hole in the middle. Benached B'tzavrei, and it fell down on his neck. Because he was carrying it on his head, they basically chew out the middle, and it falls down around his neck now. Have a bite of the Mishlefus, and now he wants to push it off. You know, it's around his neck, he wants to push it over his neck now, over his head. Mashche Shine, his teeth grew long, the high gisa in each direction. The whole Mashche the Mishlefus, it blocked him from taking them out. So his teeth became like fangs coming out, and they locked it in place. And that's what it says in the pasuk. Shine Rishaim Shibarto. The teeth of the Rishaim you broke. To Rav Shimon Lakish, the way Rav Shimon Lakish learns this. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, my dechtiv Shine Rishaim Shibarto. Al tikrei Shibarto Elisha Riravta. Don't rate it as Shibarto that you broke, but rather Riravta, which is to extend or to grow long. He reinterprets the word not to be to break, but rather to extend, and that's what it means over here that the teeth of the rush extended in order to lock him in place. Moshe kama avo. How tall was Moshe? Eser amot. He was 10 amot tall. That is because the walls of the Mishkan were 10 amot high. And the Torah says that Moshe put up the walls of the Mishkan himself. Shakil narga, bar asar amin. He took a hatchet that was 10 amot tall. Shavar eser amin. He jumps 10 amot. Machia, bekursulei, bekatlei. And he hits his, call it heel, ankle. and kills Og Melech HaBashan. So this is one of the good examples where it's hard to take the story literally. In other places in Shas, we've discussed this in the stories of Rabbi Barchana and Baba Batra and other locations about how the Rishonim dealt with Agadata and people who take stories in Agadata literally. Many of the Rishonim believe that a person who does so is a fool, and that's an incorrect way to approach this. These stories are taught in school. Many people believe them to be literal, and the way that it happened. And it's clear here that these are mashalim, that these are stories that are supposed to be descriptive, but not of the story, but of events or hints at something that's greater. And over here, you can give some insight to this. What is Karsulashal Og Melech HaBashan? We know from other places that Moshe Rabbeinu feared Og Melech HaBashan because Og Melech HaBashan, the Medrash says, was Bayoah Palit. He was the one who came to inform Abraham of the capture of Lot. So he had that zchut, even though he did it for bad intentions. Nevertheless, that zchut. So when we talk about where Moshe hit him, it's Bekar Sulei. He hit him in the heel or in the ankle, in the place that was the Makom HaMitzvah, the place that was his strong point. Moshe Rabbeinu Eser, the number 10 with Moshe Rabbeinu, was not surprising. He brought down the Eser Aluchot, he brought down the Ten Commandments, he built the Mishkan that was Eser Amot High, and he also went through with Bnei Yisrael through the Eser Nisneyonot. I mean, there are many multiples of 10, Eser Makot, the Mitzrayim. Moshe has gone through many things that are Eser Amot. And that could be the reference over here to Moshe Rabbeinu, the number 10, being significant to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu leads Bnei Yisrael through many events that we include the number 10. And once again here, he leads them through the battle with Og Melech HaBashan. So here you can see that it's allegorical, the story, not taken literally, and that there is much more meaning in the allegory of the story than there is in taking it literally. And as many of the Rishonim say, you make it into chok tmuva, you make it into a joke. You make the Torah a joke if you take it literally. People are going to hear this and say, what type of joke this is? This never happened, this can't be. And therefore, one has to be careful when they deal with the Gadata about what exactly the Agadah is doing, whether it really should be taken literally, or really it's more of an allegory, and then how to deal with that allegorical meaning through the Agadah. Ve'ven she'yashav alei Moshe, the stone on which Moshe seated himself, dechtiv, v'yedei Moshe kvedim, Moshe's arms get heavy when he's holding them up, so that Bnei Yisrael can be victorious with Amalek. Ve'yichu even, ve'yisimu tachtav, they take a stone and they put it under him, ve'yishav alei, and he sat on it. V'yishto shalot, the wife of Lot, Shnemar batabet ishto me'acharav v'ti nitziv melech. She looked backwards. When the stone was being destroyed, she turns into a pillar of salt. V'chomot Yericho shenivla'a. And the walls of Yericho that were swallowed up. Dichtiv v'tipol achoma tachteha. That the wall fell down. So the Gemara is going to explain all this. Bishlam akulu nisa. All of them are miracles, we understand. Ella, like Arya said, ishto shalot. Puranutahu. What type of miracles? This is something negative. Why would you make a bracha on that? Damar baruch dayan emet. So the first suggestion of the Gemara is that you make it baruch dayan emet. Somebody died here. You make a bracha on the ra'ah that happened, the paranut that happened here. Vaha hoda'a b'shevach tani. That braita began with you have to give shevach v'hoda l'Hashem. So it sounds to me that there was some sort of equivalence drawn with all these cases. Now it's true that baruch dayan emet is also hoda, but I wouldn't call that hoda'a b'shevach. That has much more of a positive tone to it. So it's they alot va'al ishto mivarchim. That when you see the Netziv HaMelech, you know that's where Lot escaped from stone. So you make the bracha there because you're making it on both of them. Rechim Shayim al ishto omer baruch dayan amet. His wife, you say baruch dayan amet. Va'alot omer baruch zucheret at tzadikim. Shem who remembers the tzadikim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan afil b'shat ka'asu shel kodesh baruch hu zucheret at tzadikim. Even when God is angry, he remembers his righteous. Shenamar. When God destroys the cities of the plain, and there are four cities that are destroyed, five were supposed to be destroyed, Lot requests that one of them not be destroyed. So here we see that Hashem remembers Abraham is tzaddik, and he sends Lot out. So therefore, we make a two brachot when you see the Netziv HaMelech, one about those that survived, and one about the one who was left behind. So therefore, we make Baruch Dayan Emet, as well as Zocher et Tzaddikim.
We learn all this from Yisro. He didn't make the answer bracha from him, but he didn't see anything.
Right, he was told about the miracles.
He was told about it.
Right. It's a response. I think what the example or the paradigm that's set out by Yitro is, what is the proper response to miracle? So obviously, if one experiences miracle, then the proper response is Shevach V'Hodah. One who hasn't experienced the miracle, the only one they can come back or quote-unquote re-experience it is to go to the location where the miracle was. So I think that is a way to have a return to the state where you're in a miracle. Yitro is hearing about what just happened to Bnei Yisrael. I mean, as if the miracle has just transpired. So in that case also, there was an obligation of Bnei Yisrael to give bracha. There's an obligation, and Ira Job says the bracha right in that context of the miracles just transpiring. One experiences a miracle, they should give bracha to Hashem right away. The reliving of that miracle, or the re-experiencing of that miracle, is only when you come back to that location. Sometimes it could be a date. Sometimes it could be a specific date on the calendar. That is true, that cities did have that. Or even in Bayit Sheni, Megillat Tanit deals with certain dates that were special. In that case, they did celebrate, they did something extra to Hashem. So there is that concept on the calendar, that their calendrical date, that is special, that could be true as well. But there has to be some sort of demarcation of the re-experience. It can't be that you just say the bracha willy-nilly. There has to be some connection to the original miracle. So you can connect with the miracle in one of two ways. Either, again, come back to that same location, or you come back to that same date. I think that's what the Gemara is trying to learn out of from Yitro. Okay, now, Chomot Yericho Shnivla'a, the wall of Yericho that was swallowed up. Chomot Yericho Nivla'a. What do you mean it was swallowed up? Nafla. Shneemar. Vayiki Shma Am et Kol HaShofar. Vayiriwa Am. When they heard the Kol HaShofar, the nation, they scream. Tshura Gedola. Make a loud scream. Vetipol HaChoma Tachta. And then the wall will fall. Tipol means to fall over. So you said the word Tachta, which is what the Gemara is going to focus on. Gave it to Puchi of Ruma, Kiadea de Ninu. The wall of Yericho was so thick that its height and its width were equal. Well, when your height and width are equal, you can't fall down. Right? Falling down implies that there's some sort of height that's not in the width, and therefore you can topple over. But if your height and width are the same, you can't topple, you can only collapse. So while it collapsed and it disappeared, the wall wasn't there anymore, the only way that is, Mishamachi Vlai Bluye. The only way for it to get out of the way was to be Tachteha, to fall underneath it, to be swallowed up. And now we move on to what we as otherwise is known as Birkat HaGomel. And in Birkat HaGomel it says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Arba Tzrichim Lehodot. There are four people that are required to give Hodah Lashem. Your Deayam, Hochei Midbarot, those seafarers, those that travel through the desert, Mishaya Cholev and Yitzra Pesam, those sick and gets well. Your, Tosafot points out, what it means to get sick means, Nafal Mishkav, you're bedridden. It's not that you have a headache. It's not that something, you know, small like that. It's something where you're bedridden. Mishaya Chavush Veit Beit HaSirin, someone who's incarcerated. So all of these are four things that are mentioned. The Gemara is about to do this. It's going to go up in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Zayin. Tehillim has a refrain. It says that one has to be, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Lulam Chasto. Give thanks to Hashem because His chesed is always... And then the Perek in Tehillim goes through a number of items. Which is, first of all, Yomru, Gulei Hashem, Asher Ga'alam Yatzar. Someone who got lost in the Midbar, Darach. Ir Moshav Lo Matzahu, they found no settled city. Revim Gam Tzmeim, they're hungry, they're thirsty. Nafsham Behem Titatach, they're holding on to their souls for dear life. And they are afflicted. Vayitzak'u El Hashem Bitzar Lehem Emitzukodehem Yatzileim. They call out to Hashem that He should save them from their depths, from their danger. Vayadrichem B'derech Yisharal Alechet Yom Moshav, so that He should make their way properly. And they'll end up in a civilized city. Yodu Hashem Chazdo V'nifla Utav Livnei Adam. So ki izbia nefesh shokika v'nefesh reiva milei tov. Because He took care of those that were lost, that they were hungry, they were thirsty. So the refrain that's going to come up again and again in this Perek Tehillim is Yodu Hashem Chazdo. Give thanks to Hashem for His chesed. But it's after, Vayitzakul Hashem Betzalehem Mimitzukodehem Yatzilehem. They call out to Hashem to save them. And the refrain is going to happen four times. And those are the four events. What I just read to you was the first of those events, which is getting lost in the Midbar, being in the desert. The Rishonim point out over here, Ratoso points out over here, that the Gemara lists them in a different order than they're found in the Psukim. Over here, if you look at Rav Yehuda's statement, he starts with, Avetzrichim Nodot Yurdeayam, seafarers first. The Perek in Tehillim starts with those that are traveling through the desert. So why is there a difference? The Rav Haigon, in his gifts, it's brought down here, you can see in the Ein Mishpat, he brings down from Haigon, to be cross story, Mashashchiach Tfei. What's found in the pasuk is what's most common. Ume Gamara Mesarim Lefu Ekovim Lesakana. And as in the Gemara, listened by Sakana. So if you own Betosvot, and you have to look in Tosvot, Tosvot says, that Nakra Nakat Seder Mesukanim Yoter Tchilad, Pasukim go by the most dangerous, and then the Gemara Nakat Abitsuyim Tchilad, Moshchiach. So he has the exact opposite girsa of what the Rav Haigon has. Haigon says that the psukim are listed by the most common, and the Gemara is listing them by the danger, and Tosfot has the exact opposite way. He says the psukim are leaning out by the danger, and the Gemara is leaning out by the most common. So you have them go through. By the way, it happens here, the refrain happens four times. And then in the end, the Perek Tehillim ends with something very special, and this is Perek Tehillim, Kuf Zayin, that is read by many on Yom HaTzmaut. And the question why has to do with exactly this, which is Hodul Hashem Kitov Kulam Chasto, which is giving thanks to Hashem, which is what the day of Yom HaTzmaut is about. Whether you say Hallel, don't say Hallel, whether you believe in the Medina, don't believe in the Medina, there's a very, very basic principle, which is that you have to give thanks to Hashem. That when Hashem grants you something that's amazing, that you have to say thank you. And so at minimum, that's what people have to do, is say thank you to Hashem for granting us Eretz Yisrael. How that manifests itself, okay, but at least recognize that Hashem did something miraculous. I think that should be the minimum standard for everybody. What exactly you do halachically, that's a different story. But the reason that we read this, Perek in Tehillim, is because of the way it ends. Yodul Hashem chasdo niftol bnei adam, viromohu bikalam. You should praise Him bikalam. Amongst a multitude, and later the Gemara will learn from that, you have to do this in front of 10. Because a gomel has to be done in front of 10, because it says bikalam. And kal is 10. Umashav zkenim yalulu. And in the presence of the zkenim, you'll praise him. Again, the Gemara learns that you have to have two talmidei chachamim. Yasem neharot lemidbar. Umotze mayim letzimaon. Eretz prilim lecha. Meirat yoshvei ba. A land that had lecha, was salty, that didn't give forth fruit from the evilness of its inhabitants. But then there will come a time, Yasem midbar la'agamayim. The deserts will flow with water. The eretz yal motzeimayim. And the dry lands will now become springs. V'yushem sham re'evim. And those that are hungry will live there. V'yichonu ne'ir moshav. And they will settle the land. V'yizru sadot. They will plant fields. V'yitu kramim. And they will plant vineyards. V'yasu pri tvua. V'yivarchem v'yirbu ma'od. Hashem will bless them and they will multiply. U'behemtam lo yamit. And their animals will not become smoimar. V'yimat'u v'yashochu. And they'll be saved, and the bad will diminish. Again, you see what the end. You know, there are four things that are mentioned in this Tehillim, and there's a fifth thing. And the fifth thing is that they will return home. And when they return home, then the land will burst forth with their fruit, and will give, and the desert will turn to water. That needs no explanation for what happened here when Bnei Israel returned to Eretz Israel. But that's what happens. People saw the Kuv Zayin as being a Perek Tehillim where you can give Hodah v'Sherach Hashem, but also relating to the event that transpired. The resettlement of Eretz Yisrael and the bringing forth of fruit from the desert and trees and growth and the things that before were dry. Now, we'll just run through this because we explained it, but now the Gemara is going to quote all these psukim that came from there. It says, Your day, Yam, how do you know about your day, Dam, Ignalan? How do you know that? Because Midichtiv. Over here in the psukim, it says, Your day, Yam, Be'anuyot. Those that go into the sea. So, Osim lachav amayim rabim. Hema rasu maseh Hashem. They see the hand of God mitzlotav mitzula. The Omer v'yameid ruach seara utramem galav. There were storms, high waves. Yalu shamayim yadu te'amot. They went up to the skies, down to the depths. Nafsham bar'ah titmogag. Their hearts melted. Yachogu v'yanu k'shikor. They're shaking around like a drunkard. Hochach matam titbala. And all their wisdom is gone. I mean, it was swallowed. It's okol Hashem b'tzar lehem again. U'mitzukudeyam yotzien. So again, Hashem saves them. They call out to Hashem to save them. And what happens? Yakim se'ara l'dmama. Makes the storm quiet. V'yachshu galehem. And the waves settle down. V'yismachu k'yishtoku. And they were celebrating when it's quieted down. V'yimchem l'mechos kapzani. He brought them to their destination. You do, Hashem chastok, niftol tav, libnei adam. You have to give praise to Hashem for that. Hochei midbarot, minolan diftiv, which is the one that we read, the first one, which is, tov b'midbar b'shimon, derech yir moshav lo matzo, v'yitzaku al Hashem, v'yidrichem b'derech yishra, you do, Hashem chastok. Here they gave a summary of it. Then we have, mishichala v'nitrapeh. Someone who was sick and then was cured. So over there, the psukim say, "Dichtiv, if they miderch misham over notem it anu kol achel titeiv nafsham, they will want anything to eat. Vayagiu at sharei mavet, they reach the doors of death. Vayitzaku al Hashem b'talem mitzugodem yoshiim, yishlach dvarom v'yirpaim, he'll send his word and cure them. V'yaleit mishchitotam, and they will survive from their destruction. Yodu l'Hashem chastok v'tav b'nei adam." So again, here the idea being that a person is sick, and that's why Tosfot says they have to be bedridden. The way the psukim describe it over here is that they reach the sharei mavet, and that's the type of sickness that we're talking about. We're not talking about regular cold or, you know, a little bit of a headache. We're talking about something that's serious. And then v'yizbechu zivchei todah v'yispru masa berina, they bring korbanot tovah, and they talk about Hashem's masim. The idea here of giving gemul to Hashem is that not only do you thank Hashem, but you publicize what He did for you. That's part of giving thanks to Hashem, is also making it known that Hashem provided and protected you and took care of you. And the last one is Misha Yachavush Beit Asurim, someone who's incarcerated, which is the second one that's mentioned in the psukim over here, which is Yoshvei Choshech V'Tzal Mavet, those that are sitting in darkness in death. Asirei ani u'brazel, that are bound with iron chains. Ki imru imrekel, because they went against the word of God. Batzat elyon na'atsu, and they rejected the advice of God. Ve'echnav amalibam, and now they've become humble, and they have subjugated themselves. Kashlu ve'en ozer, but now they've tripped, and there's no one to help them. Ve'itzaku el Hashem, ve'tzalehem, they call out to God. Tam Yoshim, Hashem will save them from their depths, their despair. Yotzeim michoshech v'tzalmovet, take them out of darkness and death, and Mosroteim he not take, and he'll break their bonds. Yodul Hashem chastov nevtov ve'adam. So those are what are described here in the Psukim, inside of Perek Tov Zayin, in Tehillim. Amar Rav Yehuda Baruch Gomel Chasidim Tovim, says the bracha is Baruch Gomel Chasidim Tovim. You see over here the Aleph of the Gra, he says the Girsa should be HaGomel V'Chayivim Tovot Shkumlani Kol Tov, which is the Girsa of the Grif and the Rosh, and that's what we use for our Birkat HaGomel, which is HaGomel V'Chayivim Tovot Shkumlani Kol Tov. Bai Amar V'Tzirich Lo'odiyah Kami Asira, you have to say before 10, I read you the pasuk before, Dichtiv Yeromamua B'Kalam, that they elevated him, they exalted him, B'Kalam, in front of a multitude. A kahal is a multitude. We just saw that before, when b'makelot barchu et Hashem. With the multitudes, you have to give bracha to Hashem. You have to change the bracha, birkat hamazon, birkat hazimun, when there's a kahal. Makelot can be, is at least a minimum of 10. Masut Yomar would train me now Rabbanan. Two of those 10 have to be Rabbanan, Shinemar, u'moshav zekenim yalulu. In the presence of the zekenim, he will give praise to them. So you need zekenim is a minimum of 2. So mashav zekenim yalulu. Mat givar vashi beim akulu Rabbanan. Why'd you have to say all of them be Rabbanan? Mikti b'kal zekenim. It doesn't say b'kal zekenim, it says b'kalam. It says kalam, which means they regular Ve'ema be'asara sharama b'trei Rabbanan. Let's say it's a total of 12. You need 10 from the am and then 2 from the zekenim. Kasha, it's a good question. Are you the chalash? Yehuda became ill, v'itpach, and he became well, he recovered from that illness. Alagabe Rabbi Chana Bagta. Came to him Rabbi Chana from Bagta, Baghdad. That's exactly what Rashi says here. Shemi Ro Baghdad. City is called Baghdad. He are Ira Chashuva, Shebavavel, Mishchava, Bavel. That is the major city since the fall of the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire. Baghdad is the central city. Which was true even till today. It says it was a very large city. There was a Jewish community there until the rise of Saddam Hussein. There was a Jewish community in Baghdad for all the years. Rabbanan amile brich rachmana diavini alach v'loyevach lafra. So the Rabbanan made the bracha. Bracha Hashem, you gave you back to us and then put you into the ground. I mean that there were two possibilities of the outcome here. Either you're going to be buried in the ground, turned to the dust of the earth, or you came back to us. So baruch Hashem that you came back to us and then end up in the dust of the earth. I'm like, oh, patrito ni ati milo day. You made me patur, now I don't have to say birkat hagomel anymore. It says, va'amar abaye bayoduye ba'api asara. Doesn't you have to do it in front of 10 people? The Gemara says, davu be asara. There were 10 people here. 10 of his talmidim came. Va'yulokomode. What about him? He has to say it. L'tzarech da'ani batrayu amein. That he answers amein to it. Which is somewhat of a controversy whether you can have someone say birkat hagomel on your behalf. Which is not so clear that a person can say Birkat HaGomel on behalf of someone else. Usually it's the person themselves who has experienced it has to say the Birkat HaGomel. It's not clear that you could say Birkat HaGomel on behalf of someone else. So just two more lines and then we'll go on Rav Yehuda. Shlusha tzrichim shimor. Three people need extra guarding. Ve'elohen. These are the chole, someone who's sick. Katan vikala. With chole, as Rashi points out, is because shora mazlo. You know, he's down on his luck. Things aren't going so well for him. The reason he's sick is because things aren't going well. You need extra shimur to protect them, to ward off other bad things from happening to him. The chatan and kala are on the opposite side, which the chatan and kala are the pinnacle of their excitement, their happiness. So the satan, others are looking to get in there, to ruin it. So therefore they need shimur. But we have a bride that says, chole, chaya, chatan v'kala. So you add in one extra one here. It's chaya, as a woman has just given birth. Again, she's in a dangerous predicament. So she needs shmira because she's already down. Things are not going so well right now. Yoshamim af avel, which would fit into that same category of avel, chaya, and chole. Yoshamim af tamidei chachamim balayla. Even tamidei chachamim at night. That is somewhat problematic because we saw earlier in the Masechta when it came to Birkat HaMapil, when it came to saying the psukim in one's bed, so they should have shmira, over there the Gemara says that Tamidei Chachamim do not need to, because they are always learning their girsa, and therefore they are protected. So the Rabbeinu Yonah back on the Avdalit in the Gemara says, over there, that by Tamidei Chachamim their girsa protects them. What our Gemara is referring to is when they go alone, b'yichidi b'ishon alayla. That they go out at night, alone, in the dark, in bad places. You know, that they're in a position where there are a lot of things going against them at that point in time. At that point in time, then they need shmirah. It's not enough that they are big girsatam. Okay, we'll stop here.